All right. Welcome, everyone, to the third of our E3 2010 RFN podcasts. I'm sitting here with the entire in-person crew, which would be myself, Jonathan Metz. Next to me is...
James.
Carly.
Aaron.
TYP.
Neil.
Jared.
All right. We're all here sitting around, and we've had another long, exhausting day. I think at this point we're starting to get a little crazy, actually. We're starting to act weirdly and get very quirky around each other because we're so tired. But the show's been going really well, and I should start out with a big shout-out to the home team who've been really nailing it down with a lot of previews, uploading assets. They do a lot of the work that we really can't do because of online access and time. So we're trying to do... the coverage here that we're able to do with the access that we have to the games, and they do pretty much everything else. And there's a lot of work that goes into it, and every year, and I know all of us have probably been on the home team at one point or another. Carly is a perennial champion of the home team, and they work just as hard as we do in a different way, and they really don't get much credit for it. So I want to put that out there. Now, last night we mainly talked about first-party Nintendo stuff because that was the press conference, and, you know, our tradition is that the first day of E3 we spend most of our time doing Nintendo stuff because that's what we're here for. The second day usually is when the third-party appointments really kick in. We get to see some stuff farther and farther from the epicenter of Nintendo.
But we all return.
We all return, of course. But I thought it would be good to sort of pay attention to some of the third-party stuff that's here. I think the general sense is that there's quite a bit of Wii and DS software out there, but a lot of the companies aren't making it a focus of their portfolio this year. There are certainly a few casual efforts that are, you know, getting some attention, but even some of those are now going multi-platform. You think about the EA Sports Active 2 and stuff like that. Even when they are showcasing a Wii game, it's not just a Wii game in most cases. So,
I've been noticing a trend in that, like, it's either a company has like one or no Wii games, or they have a crap ton. Like, for instance, like Ubisoft has Shaun Wade Skateboarding, whereas like Warner Brothers has Wii games everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to read too much into that right now, but I know we've all had various appointments today and seen some third-party stuff, and so I thought it'd be nice to go around and hear one or two highlights, and we'll all, you know, react and ask each other questions and keep it interactive here. But let's start with James.
No, I was hoping you wouldn't start with me.
I always start with you, James.
I don't even want to contemplate that. The problem is I spent a lot of the day doing catch-up on appointments where we didn't really have stuff to see, so I had kind of a rough day in terms of finding two high points from third party stuff.
Well, did you play anything yesterday?
Yeah. So.
Did you play Epic Mickey today?
Yeah, that's one. So I have one.
You played the whole of Natsume's booth today.
Yeah, that's the problem because all the demos are broken.
Okay, let's start with Epic Mickey. What do you think?
I'm really anxious to play it.
It's interesting. I mean, the demo is kind of, it's so broken up. And basically, there's three different gameplay styles.
So it's like they have the part that was in the press conference.
Yeah.
And then like that side scrolling section. And then the third one that they didn't show.
Yeah, that's it. And the action stages, as they call them, greatly resemble the hub world. Basically, there's just enemies in them effectively. That's pretty much the only difference. You can die. That's the difference between the hub world and the action stage.
So it's like a Mario 3D, Mario 64 level kind of
thing. Yeah, essentially.
Or Mario Sunshine level.
Because you could actually die in Mario 64's hub level. But, and then there's the 2D stuff that they showed. I'm not sure. It's a pretty big disconnect when you go between them because the control scheme completely shifts, effectively. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a short demo. It's not real short, but I mean, it's just a pretty small demo of what the whole main game is. So it's definitely interesting. It looks like it's got a lot of polish to it. It looks nice, but you know, we'll see.
Does your in the exploration parts, in the 3D parts, does your paintbrush affect everything in the environment?
No,
or
just stuff that's stands out effectively.
Just selective things.
Yeah.
Is it pretty easy to tell from far away
yeah.
what's going to be
far away?
Well, I mean,
yeah.
as you know, is it you're not just kind
is of there a tell?
Yeah, it's just like old style animation where the things you can interact with are brightly colored and everything else is kind of a dim color.
Okay. So it's like a keyframe thing.
Yeah.
And for the 2D parts, how did you feel that controlled and how did it play?
I mean, it felt like a 2D platformer. I mean, it was pretty straightforward. It worked pretty well. It was kind of, you know, it's kind of weird controlling a 2D platformer with the Wii Remote nunchuck since it's sort of been established on the Wii that do the sideways remote.
There are a bunch of games doing that.
Yeah, I know. It's
Mario Galaxy 2's.
Yeah, I know, but they feel different though for some reason. I can't quite put my finger on what feels different about.
Feel floaty? Was it the double jump?
No, they just feel closer to. I guess floaty is actually the right word for it. And they just you know they're not real. It's a really short 2D demo. It's it's like 30 seconds. I mean, you blaze through it really fast. So it's really hard to make a good judgment on the game.
What do you think of the graphics compared to like the concept art that they first showed?
Well, I mean, it's concept art, but I mean, it does kind of have the same vibe to it. I think. So
okay,
well, it.
That's good.
Just turning off my phone.
All right.
Okay.
I like how you yelled at us to turn off our phones and you didn't.
Yes.
You have to edit this out.
Yes, thanks. I guess one last question in the 2D parts. Are you just running and jumping or do you use the paintbrush?
You do not have access to the paintbrush in that particular part of the game.
Huh. So you're just running and jumping?
Yes.
Very simple then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll have to go try it myself. So we'll probably do one at a time and then maybe come back around for anybody who wants to call out something else. But Carly, what was one of your
I went to see GoldenEye today.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, at Activision they did a demo of the single player and then they had everyone playing a bit more of the multiplayer, which is on the show floor, so a few people have played it already. It's not GoldenEye in 64, they've completely redone it. They're mainly basing it on Daniel Craig's Bond character and the sort of Russian Cold War theme from GoldenEye. And at the beginning, it's still the dam. You recognize it as the dam, but you have your partner, I think it's Tanner, that goes around with you and it's sort of like a tutorial, tells you which parts to go to, and you can stealth your way in or you can just blast all the guards and you have to infiltrate the first area, and then you end up getting on a truck at one point, and then you go up to the checkpoint, you're pretending to be undercover, but then they tell you to get out of the truck and everything, and then he just shoots the two guys, and then what he does, the animation for Daniel Craig's Bond character, who you are, he smashes in the front windscreen with the gun, and then there's this whole section where the truck's sort of blazing down the tunnel, and you're just shooting at all the different trucks and people around.
So is it stealthy at all?
Yeah, I mean, there's parts where there's a system where, say, if one guard sees you, you have a certain amount of time to kill him before he calls in further guards, and you have a certain amount of time to kill them down before more reinforcements get called in. And there was one bit, once you got into the building, if you shot the three guards before they could reach the alarm, then you didn't have to have a full-on firefight. Mm. There was a weapon called the Kleb.
Wow. That's Russian for bread. So, just to be clear, GoldenEye, it is based on the movie GoldenEye, not the game GoldenEye, right?
They use parts of... They took certain elements from the GoldenEye game for nostalgic reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I say this, I guess the style of the multiplayer. There's lots of different modes though, so it's not entirely similar. Say so there's things like the paintball mode. And
yeah,
stuff.
And I think they had that in the trailer,
mm-hmm.
and they mentioned like that you only live twice, which has probably been
but
a lot of
said,
Bond games.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Apparently, though, with all the customizations, you can have about 200 different modes for the multiplayer. You can count everything.
But is the controls, I mean, do they feel good? I mean, to me it feels like they're just sort of trying to recapture the magic of GoldenEye by using the name. Is it really warranted? Is the name warranted, or is it just to try to make a quick buck?
It's hard to say, because it's a completely different game. It's much more like modern games. Like, it's a secret agent type game. You're sneaking around, you're taking things down. In terms of controls, the Classic Controller Pro, it's dual analog. I'm not really used to dual analog games, so I can't say a lot about that. But you also have the option of Wii Remote and Nunchuck and use the pointer for that.
And you can play with GameCube as well. I saw that in the menu.
Yes. And I didn't find, say, GoldenEye-style controls at all anywhere, but on the selection menu for the Classic Controller Pro, there was an invert controls option, and that seemed to be about all the customization there was on that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, when we first heard about it, it seemed like everybody was implying that this was some kind of remake of the game. And when I went and played the multiplayer demo at Nintendo's booth, it became clear to me pretty quickly that they're trying to make it look like that. But, you know, for legal reasons or whatever, this is not a remake of the game. It's just another game based on the same movie as the original game everybody loves.
I think mainly they're trying to sell the multiplayer on that point, and then with the single player, they've gone in a different direction, really, I'd say.
Well, the single player sounds more like games. I think Eurocom might even develop these games where you're basically rewarded for not having to shoot people, but usually you screwed up and had to shoot them anyway.
Seem to be the case so far. You seem to have a choice, but I didn't see that. They didn't show that much of the game, only part of the first level.
I mean, it sounds a little bit like Metal Gear Solid or something.
It looks like that.
Okay. That's interesting. It's definitely not what people think of when they think of GoldenEye, I don't think.
Right.
So, I'm totally in wait and see mode on that. I mean, I've played it, but like,
yeah,
I feel like
I had a good time with it when I played it. I don't think I'm not like, you know, game of show, can't wait to get it, but it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
Did they talk at all about, like, is there going to be online multiplayer?
The online multiplayer is for 8 people, and that's just one per Wii console, or you have the 4-player on one console multiplayer with the split screen.
Are they supporting Wii Speak for that?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. They didn't indicate that they were.
Well, I remember Call of Duty Modern Warfare Reflex, which, I mean, different developer, but also Activision for Wii. I think they took out Wii Speak because it was, like, too much lag on the online system that they had set up.
That would probably be the case with this, too.
I don't know if Treyarch and Eurocom are sharing in that way.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
But I did see something funny in regards to GoldenEye, and then at the Nintendo booth, which is the only place where it's playable on the floor, I saw someone from High Voltage, the developers of Conduit 2, looking like right behind like people playing the multiplayer, and I went up to him and made some comment about like, so are you checking out the competition? And then he said about how it actually does look pretty good. Which, I don't know what to make of that.
It does, but I think the Conduit guys have a lot more experience in making a multiplayer shooter for Wii in terms of what can go wrong in online.
Oh, they have a lot of experience.
They learned a lot. You can check out the interviews that Aaron did.
Yeah, they're. I won't talk about it right now, but I was very impressed with, not so much with what I played because of the Conduit 2, it was just the network play and it's a local network. You can't really trust that too much, but it looked good. It felt the same. But what the guy was telling me was like, basically we're fixing everything and they're putting in an online patch system so they can actually patch the game.
That's very welcome.
Yeah, and I think the way they're doing it is basically they're structuring it as if they were pushing DLC, but it's not like paid DLC. It's not like map packs or anything.
So it's free DLC that it's code. That's
exactly.
On the Wii.
It's set up as free DLC, but the DLC is a patch.
It's sort of ridiculous how they have to sort of jump through these hoops
to
come into this
like
system.
Walk around.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they are going to actually offer real DLC as well.
They might. Yeah, they indicated to me that they didn't want to split their user base with paid maps, but
see. But I think they will maybe try to get some maps in there.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the Conduit 2, so it's a totally separate game. Aaron,
Well, I was actually going to bring up Conduit too, so we played it today.
Perfect
so.
Segue.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Excellent work, sir.
Second.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess Conduit 2, it picks up right at the end of Conduit 1.
Yeah, it ended on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, so, like, Conduit 1, I guess I'll spoil it.
It's in the prologue.
Yeah.
You walk through the giant conduit.
Right, exactly. Basically, yeah, you're chasing the guy who was sort of directing you earlier in the game. What happens in Conduit 2 is you go through the conduit, and then you end up on this oil platform, drilling platform, ironically.
That's comforting.
off of Florida. So that's how it starts. I didn't really get to see much past that, but basically the game gets a lot, I guess the storyline goes a lot farther. You find out, I guess, like, there are these warring factions or whatever, and Atlantis, and...
You find out that the city of Atlantis was a crashed alien spaceship.
Oh, my God.
And you go there at some point.
How about the gameplay, Aaron?
Yeah,
let's get away from that story.
I feel like you just made that up when you were talking about
that's
how ridiculous it sounds.
No.
That's what the guy told me.
Yeah, no, I mean, so I think... they have a lot more varied environments now, like the multiplayer map that I played a lot today was I guess it's supposed to be Atlantis, but it was sort of like a jungle temple setting, and they've really cleaned up stuff even more than the previous game.
Did you notice that, I mean, you're playing the online mode, basically, network mode, and it looks almost like the single player mode from the first game. Whereas in the Conduit One, there was a huge gulf between the way the graphics looked in single player versus multiplayer. It's like, on single player, it looks like a really nice Wii game, and in multiplayer, it looks like a really nice N64 game. So now they've really brought the multiplayer graphics up to par, and I haven't seen a single player yet, but it probably looks even better than before.
I
think that's a much needed improvement.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, single player, saw the first level, and it has, rain effects where the drops are hitting the ground and everything. It's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, the game, they added a bunch of new weapons, of course. There's like this one a sniper rifle that can snipe through walls because it phases through them. And,
sounds like Perfect Dark.
The best part of Perfect Dark.
Yeah,
I didn't like that guy. But I digress.
I don't know. There are just a lot of subtle things that just make it feel a lot smoother. And, of course, they have all the customizations like crazy again. I wouldn't say it's that different from the first one, but I think they've really taken a look at what everybody's said about the first one to try to make this one good.
Yeah. I never played Conduit, but I know that a lot of people complain about the use of Wii Speak there and how it's broken as hell. Did they mention anything about optimization for Wii speakers out of their hands?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much they can fix. One interesting thing is they're also supporting this new headset, I think, from PDP.
It's called the Headbanger, which is basically a Wii Speak retrofitted into a headset, I think.
Almost, yeah. I talked to them about it, and they actually said that they had their separate SDK that they had to implement into the game as well. However, they said it was almost identical to WeSpeak, and it took them like 5 hours, and they had it all finished. So, that should be interesting to see if it works any better or not. I'm not sure if it will or not. I don't know whose fault it was for that problem.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I know they're looking at it. They did tell me that they're putting in a rival system that's like the one in Metroid Prime Hunters on DS. So if you meet a player through random matching and you like playing with that other person and they like playing with you, you can add each other as rivals, and from that point on you basically have all the privileges of friends, even though you haven't traded friend codes, including WeSpeak. You can actually chat with your rivals. These are people you've never met before and haven't, and they had to, High Voltage apparently had to get special permission from Nintendo to do that, but they got it, and so they're putting that in there. Another tidbit that I picked up when I played it yesterday is that, you know, they've got the Motion Plus feature in for the show here. And what it's mainly used for is to improve pointer tracking as you move away from the sensor bar. You know, when the IR camera on the remote can no longer pick up the position, you can use Wii Remote to give some continuity there until you move back over. So I think it's mainly meant for, you know, stray movements. Oops, I accidentally went too far. Well, at least the game won't freak out, right? So it's supposed to make for a smoother experience. But the developer did mention to me that they're messing around with a mode that would let you play without the sensor bar at all. It's not in the show demo, and they may keep it out of the final version if it's not good enough. But they're experimenting with it right now. And then, you know, not long after he told me that, we went to the round table, and Miyamoto said that they're actually doing the same thing in Zelda. So it's an interesting implementation of Motion Plus that we haven't really seen before, mm-hmm. and that you can basically do pointing on the screen with just the Motion Plus without actually using the pointer. And then when you use both of them, it's even better. So a really interesting little tidbit. And, that, you know, I think it's impressive to hear that High Voltage is kind of working on the same implementation that Nintendo is, and that they're apparently, you know, seems to be working pretty well. So that's heartening as well. Mm-hmm. I hijacked you a bit, Aaron, so
yeah.
If you have anything else you want to say.
Yeah, no, I guess, yeah, regarding that, I think one of the developers also said that you add the Motion Plus and you don't, you may not really notice a huge difference. But then you, once you're playing with that for a while, then you take it out, and then suddenly you see what it actually added.
Right.
So it's very subtle.
Right.
But yeah, I think they mentioned it. You could actually sort of do, even if they don't have this special mode, you can still kind of just not point at the screen and still use the Motion Plus to sort of simulate that mode.
Hmm.
In any case.
Very nice. All right, Mike.
Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit and just say various Sonic games, because no one else has touched on Sonic yet.
Three over on Sega.
Yeah, way too many. But the game I probably played the most was Sonic 4, which is, of course, the downloadable game. It's going to all three consoles as well as the iPhone. The interesting thing there is that they said that they'll have two levels that are unique to the console systems. Like, all three have the same levels. And then the iPhone has its own set of two special levels. And they claim that they're doing something with the motion sensor or something in the iPhone there, which is kind of strange.
Mm.
But, so there really isn't much of a difference amongst them. But it feels like a Sonic Genesis game. I mean, it really feels like Sonic 2, only kind of a little bit newer, maybe.
It felt really weird to me. And I'm a big fan of specifically Sonic 2, right?
Uh-huh.
That you mentioned it. And I played like the first zone and then the boss fight. And
yeah.
The boss fight, which is straight out of the first Sonic game.
It is until the very end.
Yeah,
right?
And then they
yeah.
switch it up, which I thought was really cool. Because
yeah.
I was like, oh, he's done. And then spinning the ball around. But I don't know. There was just something that felt off. To me, I can't really put my finger on it as much, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I hoped to.
Oh, I thought it felt good, and I think one thing they did do is they added like the homing attack, which
that,
was on
that
your
was,
adventure
that
and
was really cool.
And that actually makes it less painful because you can go faster, a lot quicker using that move. So I don't know. I liked it. I thought one of the there was one level with like, the vines, which seemed a little broken. It seemed like a lot of people were getting stuck on them and falling down and not completing their jumps.
I think it was more bad level design.
well, than Sonic. I mean,
I usually thought that the classic Sonics had pretty good level design.
There were some problem points, but yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I have to say the Wii version, and Johnny pointed this out, but the Wii version on display didn't seem like the colors were as vibrant as on the other two, but I don't know if it was the TV or what. I mean, it could just be that those were higher definition, so maybe it just popped more. But it did look like the colors were brighter on those systems.
Yeah, it's hard to say when they're on separate TVs because it could be that the, you know, the color bars and everything are set up differently.
Yeah,
but
it was the same model TV. But
I also noticed that on the Wii version, the graphics look more pre-rendered, you know, more like Donkey Kong Country style.
Mm.
I mean, there's the animation's pretty smooth.
Yeah.
But if you look up close, Sonic doesn't really look like he's made out of polygons. Whereas if you walk over and look at the HD versions, it's pretty clear that Sonic is made of polygons. You know, so it's...
Really? You think they're using pre-rendered for Sonic on
Wii?
On Wii?
Yeah, in order to make him look basically as detailed as he does on the other systems.
That's hard to believe, because... Right, it's possible.
That's what
I didn't notice
that. Was my
that.
Impression, but...
It could just be the stretching and skewing of the pixels and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure on that. I mean, it seems like a strange thing to not be sure about, but just given the way the game's art style
yeah.
is done, it's honestly not... Because the camera never moves.
Right.
So, it's straight 2D. And, I don't know, there's just something about the animation on the HD versions that makes it look to me like Sonic is actually made of polygons in those versions. And on the Wii, it looks like he's made of a pre-rendered version of the polygonal
that's
model
possible.
That's running on the other systems.
That didn't bother me too much, but I do get the feeling like...
It looks pretty good, but...
It's perfectly playable. It's perfectly fine. I suspect that if you own a high-definition system, you're probably better off buying it on those systems.
Hmm. Yeah.
It just seems like, why not? There is motion control, I've been told, for the special stages. The special stages were disabled in the E3 build. I think it was maybe so they didn't want people to take too long. They say it's going to be kind of a get 50 rings and then hit the checkpoint and then a ring will appear and jump into it.
So you think it's going to be running around on the sphere? Or
I think it's
going to...
Sonic 1. I think some people have seen that.
Oh, really? You think
yeah.
it's going to be like the original one, like the maze?
Oh,
yeah.
yeah. The very first sort of teaser video, I think, had a brief flash of that.
Hmm. That's probably my favorite.
Okay,
yeah,
so the PS3
really cool.
and the Wii have optional motion controls, what I was told. So if you are interested in doing the tilt stuff, PS3 would work. So that
yeah.
might be the choice if you actually want
the
definitive version.
So real briefly on Sonic Colors, you played more of I played the DS version.
Yeah.
You played more of the console versions or the Wii version.
Yeah,
it's only for Wii, but.
It's okay. I mean, I haven't played a 3D Sonic game since Sonic Heroes, probably, with any length.
Sonic Heroes, a fucking travesty.
Oh my god, it was a terrible game.
Yeah.
And I paid full price for it.
Guys,
anyway.
You guys didn't play Sonic Unleashed, so Sonic Heroes is spectacular compared to Sonic Unleashed.
Well,
certain parts of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it was pretty fun. I felt like the frame rate didn't seem like it was a full 60 frames per second. It seemed like it was wasn't choppy. Like, it was consistent in the frame rate, but it didn't seem smooth, especially coming after, you know, I came over right after playing Sonic 4. It just felt like Sonic didn't have the same smoothness on it. But the levels on display were enjoyable. Now, it's just Sonic Team, I think. And they're actually good at choosing the best levels for their demos. They're very skilled at that. So take that with a grain of salt. But you have a power-up system. And I didn't really get a good feel for wisps. You collect wisps and they give you power-up and you can charge up your power. And I saw one that was more like a homing attack where you bounce around some.
Yeah,
and then they have
like
a good... Yeah, and then they had like a drill that was basically from Mario Galaxy 2.
Oh, weird.
Well, what it would be is like you would go in and then you could control where you would drill to, except for you usually move too fast that you couldn't control where you drill to and you just go straight.
Right, but you could like, there were dirt sections where you could dig and access a secret area
yeah.
or collect extra stuff.
Oh.
And so whether or not they'll make a lot of use of that, I don't know.
There's, I think, at least 3 power-ups, and one of them was a laser that you could use to kill the boss instead of using the homing attack.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Several of those different colored wisps, and you come
okay.
across them during the game.
Now, one thing I...
Oh, no, I think the laser is the one thing that's the... where you bounce around like a pinball
yeah,
or something.
That's
what, because I played the game as well, and I think they said there were only 2 that were in
okay.
the demo, I think.
Well, there was some weird context-sensitive stuff, too, like where you go off some... ramp, and then you have
yeah,
to
that was weird.
Then you have to push A a couple of times, but
you
can't
like
double jump anywhere else in the game, really. Or
you're like tricking or something. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, there's some weird context sensitive stuff that I'm not sure I'm crazy about.
Well, just to be clear, from what we've seen so far, you only play as Sonic in this game.
As far as I can tell, you only play as Sonic, okay. And it is exclusive to Wii, based on my understanding.
Yes. Well, Wii and DS.
Well, they're two different games.
They really are two different games, because I played the DS version. I thought it felt great. Now, I didn't really play Sonic Rush. I haven't touched Sonic Rush Adventure, and they're from the same developer.
Yeah.
So I'm not really qualified to say what's new and what's just good from the DS games, you know, maybe what's the returning good stuff. But I thought Sonic Colors for DS felt very good. I felt like I had a lot more control over Sonic than I have in any other Sonic game, because you have a ground pound, you have the homing attack, you have an air dash that you can do with Y that just goes straight horizontal at any point when you're in the air.
I'm pretty sure at least some of that was in the prior Sonic Rush game.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'll have to go check out
that
game, because yeah, I reviewed the second Rush game, and it was Dimst, I think, does a pretty decent job. I don't know. I know some of the problems I had with the earlier games were that basically you just kind of go too fast and you can miss a lot of stuff in the level.
That's my problem with those games too.
But so it'll be interesting to see what they do with this one.
Now Dimst is also working on Sonic 4, is my understanding.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if their team is spread kind of thin or what. I mean, Sonic 4 is going to the Episode 1. I should point out this is for Episode 1. Sonic 4 Episode 1, I've been told, will have 25 acts in it, which is a lot.
Yeah. Well, you mean like Act 1-1 or Act 1-2?
I mean 25 acts grouped into zones. So four.
Oh,
so I think the idea.
Right.
So I think it's. I guess it would be what six zones, each with four acts, and then maybe like the final boss.
Okay.
I think is kind of the scenario they're laying down there.
I mean, that sounds like a full 2D Sonic game by itself, and then
they're
going to
have
enough episode two.
And they're implying that
coming some later.
Yeah, they're going to shake it out up. They're going to be shaking things up for the second one, so to speak. They basically confirm they're going to be other characters. I mean, I asked, so is Sonic 1 all you play as in this game? For this episode, yes.
Hmm.
So
for the second episode, don't play it.
Well,
it's just the bat.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they brought back like Knuckles and Tails, and then let you be able to play them in the first act doing kind of like lock-on technology. This is speculation.
That would actually be kind of cool.
Or you know, this one's sort of like Sonic 2, so maybe they're going to shake things up and introduce other game mechanics for Sonic 3. I mean, what the guy that was done with implied is that they've planned out other things and they're going to be introducing new game mechanics. Is kind of what they were implying. So I'll be interested to see what that is, but Sonic 4 Episode 1 seems like a full game. I mean, I was worried there was going to be like, you know, oh, here's two, and now, ha ha ha, no more. But it sounds like it's like a real downloadable game.
Yeah.
It's a full game.
Well, that's good. And you know, I was actually really, really encouraged by when I heard that they're delaying it to the end of the year, because it sounds like they're actually going to try to make it good.
Yeah.
Because they certainly could have, you know, popped it out in summer like they were originally saying, and instead it's like, oh, we're going to hang on to it and
may be working on episode 2 a lot right now and making sure that whatever connectivity or whatever there is between them works well. I mean, that could be part of it too.
Okay, well, enough about Sonic. Neil, what do you want to call attention?
I'm going to call attention to, I'll call attention to a developer, Headstrong Games, who had on the show floor at Warner Brothers booth Lord of the Rings Aragorn's Quest, which was at last E3 and was kind of, it was early, it was kind of crappy. I know, Johnny, I think you and Zach played it.
I played it last year, I just thought it was really bland.
Yeah, it was very bland then, and it seems like now they have a lot more of the gameplay kind of refined. And as I played through about probably 20 minutes of the game, and you play as Aragorn, you go around, you know, you have a sword, you have like Legolas, Gimli, whatever army you have in the story of the game, and along with the sword which you control with the Wii remote, and you can also do special moves as you build up power with the B by holding down the B button, which are more like powerful crowd clearing attacks. There's also four other weapons. There's a shield, which you can do a shield bash with, a spear, and you know, you can spear people with, and a torch that was useful against a ring wraith, where you kind of light them on fire and then hit them with a sword. And a bow and arrow, which actually kind of was tough at first because you had to have the pointer always on the screen when you used that, but once you kind of knew that you had to do four, you just basically swipe across the screen and it'll like lock on the three targets and hit it right away.
I remember last year there was a lot of breaking crates. I'm not kidding. A lot of breaking crates.
I actually kind of brought something up about that, and there's not as much of that, and it seems what they kind of replaced that with is that, like, as you go around, there will kind of be, like, areas that, like, instead of breaking crates to, like, find health or something, there will be something where you just go over to it and hold down A. I think it's, like, it's some Lord of the Rings reference that I didn't understand, where like you would go down to it and then basically heal and then you'd go on.
So you recharge
yeah.
at a certain place. Okay.
There are still things to break, like when you're in the middle of a battle, like if you're in an area where there are like pots that you can break, then you can get health in the middle of the battle mm-hmm. with primarily.
So I know Aragorn's quest is being positioned as kind of a family friendly
yeah.
Lord of the Rings title, sort of a kid's game, but last year, it actually felt like a kid's game in the sense of being shitty. So, this year, do you feel like this is something that a grown-up
might
still, actually play?
It's very, even talking, I talked to a person from Headstrong Games, and he even said, you know, it's for a specific audience.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, it's a lot stronger from what I remember last year. And, I mean, I don't think it's a game that, you know, we're all going to be waiting on bated breath for, but it's a game that, you know, when it comes out, I'd like to check it out. You know, I think he's made some comment about how apparently it's a 10-hour game, but then there's side quests and stuff, which can lengthen it more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot, and I also found out from talking to the guy from Headstrong Games that they were meeting with Sega today to discuss the possibilities of House of the Dead Overkill 2. Which will apparently be even more over the top than the first one, which the first one was pretty over the top.
Yes.
I don't know where they could go from there.
Yeah, apparently after they finished the first game, they basically had the story worked out for the second one, but Sega was like, we're not going to greenlight the sequel yet. But I guess they are in talks with Sega for doing that, and apparently Overkill might get ported to Move, and if Overkill 2 does come out, it'll probably come out for Wii and Move. And also Headstrong Games is working on a 3DS game, but don't know. They basically just said, we're working on a game.
Hope it's Geometry Wars Galaxy.
Yeah.
3DS. And
two,
in the meantime, they make two for Wii.
Yeah.
All right, Jared?
I'm having a bit of trouble thinking what game I would talk about since like GoldenEye and Sonic 4 were probably the ones I might have mentioned.
Didn't you play Super Scribblenauts?
I did not play Super Scribblenauts.
I know some people are in.
But I'm going to just randomly bring up a game I saw at the Konami booth, which was a baseball batting cage.
Oh, the cages.
Is that for Wii?
It's for Wii. It uses Wii Motion Plus, but the demo unit they had, they had the Wii Motion Plus detached because they had it chained, the controller was chained and it wasn't working with the Wii Motion Plus and they wouldn't let them cut it for some reason.
Wow.
What?
the game, it was weird because they were showing me all the modes. So, you know, the main mode was basically it gives you a lot of customization with, like, the pitching. You don't pitch, but you can choose how fast they pitch, showing me, you know, it can be, you can choose how they throw it, sidearm, over the top, underneath. It's supposed to be able to, like, really, you know, when you bat, it's supposed to really be able to keep, know where you're swinging, but from what I was playing, it didn't seem
so.
So why did you choose to talk about this game?
wait. So it's a batting cage simulator.
Sounds like
yes.
a winning idea.
Yeah, I mean,
I
played it a few months ago with the Motion Plus, and it did track well. I mean, like you would expect it to. But yeah, I wouldn't really call it a game as such. It really is a batting simulator. I'm not exactly sure what the market is for this, but yeah, it, I mean, there are
people without 75 cents.
Yeah, I mean,
but with $50, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, there is a few sort of game-like things where, like, instead of just hitting the ball, you have to hit it at certain targets, and that can get very tricky since with the motion plus tracking plus all the random pitches it's throwing at you. But yeah, I don't know. It's a very bizarre title.
So and the title is Cages.
I
think it's like
the
Cages and some asinine subtitle.
Oh, it's the first in a series.
Yeah, of course they're gonna have like the hockey cages, soccer cages.
This is so weird to me because a batting cage, although it can be fun to get into a batting cage. I mean, the real point of a batting cage is to help you train for playing baseball.
Yeah.
You know, it's to teach you and help you practice.
Bat peripheral, Johnny. Bat peripheral.
So a bat peripheral that's weighted like a real bat.
Yeah.
But it's not a real bat, kids.
Well, it's
yeah.
Just the thing.
Please don't hit your siblings with it.
Even if this simulation is totally accurate and, you know, just like going to a batting cage, it's not because you're not holding a baseball bat.
Yeah.
So if the point is to teach you to be a better batter, how can a video game do that if you're not actually holding a bat?
And it's sort of related to the Rock Band 3
yeah.
stuff where they showed a real guitar where you could use that very same piece of fake plastic.
Right. I mean,
to play a real the
can
real
you just
instrument.
Segue into Rock Band 3 now.
Yeah,
yes,
well,
we did.
That's what I was going to talk about anyway. So we went to the Rock Band 3 demo today, and at first it was a theater kind of thing where you had a bunch of people.
I was falling asleep, yes.
You had a bunch of people on stage playing a song.
From harmonics.
Yeah, and then they talked about it.
Lectured us on it.
Yeah.
It was an enjoyable lecture. They got senses of humor. They made a crack about how they have Bohemian Rhapsody the way it should be with harmonies and...
Is that a look at the Activision?
Keyboards, because if you don't have that, then what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
Which is kind of an FU to a Guitar Hero.
Yeah, their demo guy or their spokesperson for that demo.
I think he's
a real potty mouth.
I think he's the PR guy for harmonics.
Okay.
He's also a band, I think.
Yeah.
Just like a harmonics.
But the Rock Band 3 presentation, let's say... was them playing a song and then this guy standing there and talking for about 15 minutes
yeah.
about all the features.
Which are awesome.
I'm sorry,
it's very asinine. If you don't know anything about Rock Band, you are totally lost.
Well,
it's
very dry. Yeah, I mean, Mike here is not a Rock Band player, so I understand.
Eyes were glazing over.
I was pretty much glued to my seat,
yeah.
actually, because I am a Rock Band fan, and I was like,
the stuff about Rock Band 3, and even still, I was like, wait, so they are doing it the way that I thought that they weren't, because
right.
that would be too awesome?
Yeah, they're actually more awesome, crazy new features in here than I had even heard about before, so, and they showed the weird-ass guitar with, like, 170 buttons on it or something. Like, every single... all six strings of every fret up through probably 21 frets or something like that, each has a button. So,
yeah.
you know, multiply those numbers out, and then there's a bunch of stuff down for the strings as well. It's really sick, and at that point you might think, well, why don't you just put strings on it? And then they showed the guy playing the actual stringed like crossover guitar controller, which
incredible.
Is something else entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the really, really freaky thing to me was watching him play this, and it was just him playing. You know, it was part of the demo. And the interface is nice because it doesn't tell you specifically where to put your fingers. It's like it has taught you that before, or it assumes that you know it, one
mm-hmm.
or the other. But instead it shows the chord number, like 1, 3, 4, 5, you know, which would mean that you know the key signature and that you understand what these chord progressions mean.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the fret position.
No.
Oh.
No, because he was making actual chord shapes.
Okay.
So instead it's saying play the 3 of the key of G.
Okay.
So you actually have to know some music to even play this at all. And the really freaky thing is that the guitar controller, which is a guitar and a controller, has so many sensors in it that the game knows where he's pushing the string down.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
as he's moving his fingers up and down the strings, this number on the screen just morphs and ticks up and down to follow his finger position on each string. It was eerie. And I wasn't even playing it. I was just watching him play it. And I'm like, this guitar knows what he's doing.
And
it's a real guitar.
The really cool part about it, too, was when they had at the very end of it, he was actually hooked up to an amp.
Right.
And was playing the song in Rock Band at the same time, which
right.
was just it was really cool.
It was really weird, yeah, because at first, he played this one song. It was a White Stripes song. And he played it basically three different ways. So the first time he played it using the guitar as a game controller. And so what you heard was Jack White's guitar line coming out.
Yeah.
Then he paused the game and just plugged into his amp and just played that same thing on his amp, just totally freestanding without the game at all. You know, just to show that you can use this thing as a real guitar, as a real instrument. Then he stays in plugged into the amp, but he starts the game back up, and I guess it's also plugged into the game somehow. And he does it again, so this time he's actually playing the actual sounds through the amp over the game, but because of the way the controller knows where his fingers are, it's also registering in the game, so he's getting points for that. So he's making real music with a real guitar, and the game is picking that up and integrating it into the experience. And of course you can do all this while all these other people play all these other instruments as well. It was intense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like there's thousands of dollars of controllers up on that stage,
mm-hmm.
but they're doing some sick shit now. I mean, I thought it was amazing technology.
Yeah, like, I don't think I'll ever get that guitar,
yeah.
but just the idea that
it
exists.
I want to try it.
Yeah, I
want to
try it. The idea
that
that guitar exists is awesome, especially for people that want to get into music more.
Right.
Well, one thing that was really neat was the keyboard announcements with, where you can buy their own peripheral, which is, I guess, like one octave, maybe?
It's two octaves.
Two octaves. I didn't get a chance to see it up close. And I'm not super excited about it just because it sounds like when you play it, if you hit a wrong note, you don't hear your wrong note, at least
you
by default.
Wrong note.
You hear a wrong note.
But
or,
not the one that you actually played. This is
right.
This is like the end of the universe for 2IP. Like, he cannot handle this.
Well, this is what they did with Keyboard Mania when I tried in the arcade, and it just drove me insane. Now, given what they've done with the guitar, it's very likely that they have an option play the real thing.
That's what I think. Yes.
And that makes sense because the other interesting thing is that you can plug in a real MIDI keyboard.
Well,
into this
game. That's what I'm really excited about.
And the thing is, what the keyboard controller that they're shipping with Rock Band 3 basically is a real
right.
MIDI keyboard.
Yeah.
It's just short. It's just only
right.
got two octaves.
It can be used as a guitar if you please.
Well,
yeah.
you can plug
like
that thing into an amp, basically,
yeah.
or
yeah.
even a computer and use it as just like you would
right.
any other keyboard. But the nice thing is, you can take any keyboard that you already own, which, you know, I'm one of these guys who has a keyboard he can't play, as
mm-hmm.
Mike knows, because he plays it more than I do when he comes over to visit me in Colorado. So I have a nice keyboard. It's probably worth $200 or $300. I got it for a Christmas present, and shamefully, I can play basically a scale on it. It's pathetic. You know, I go mess with it, but I've never had lessons. I don't have the self-discipline to learn out of a book, and so I've kind of got it there, and people play with it when they come over to my place. So what that means is I don't even have to buy the keyboard controller for Rock Band 3. I can buy the little probably $20 adapter that Mad Catz is making.
40.
I think it's 40.
Yeah.
Ooh.
40?
Yes.
Yikes.
Ow.
I rechecked the pricing on the Rock Band instruments.
Yeah,
and the Pro guitar, I think, was 150.
Well, that's a good item for a third party accessory.
Yeah, I don't know what could be in that MIDI adapter that would cost
$40. I don't know, because you can get MIDI USB cables that have the converter box as part of them, and
mm-hmm.
they don't cost $40.
Yeah, that's really strange. But anyway, price aside, the idea is that I could take the keyboard that I got for a Christmas present 3 years ago and use it as a game controller in Rock Band 3. And of course, if you play in the pro mode in Rock Band 3, which I did when I finally did the hands-on demo, you're playing the actual note layouts within those octaves. And so, you know, you can learn to play a part in the song and then go over and walk over to a real piano and sit down and play it exactly the same way if you have the muscle memory. Unfortunately, what I found is that, you know, I figured with even with my very limited knowledge of keyboards, I do know my way around an octave on a keyboard. Mm-hmm. I know where the black keys are and everything. I know a few simple chord shapes, and none of that helped me at all when we started playing the game, because reading the note highway for that thing is not like I'm not good at reading sheet music, but I can sort of read it. And the note highway in the game is nothing like sheet music. Yeah. It's completely different. And you just have to completely relearn how to read keyboard music in this format. And I think even if you know how to play piano, there's going to be a learning curve as you get used to matching what your fingers are doing with what you see on the screen.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's too bad they couldn't have also, with all the other options they have in that game, also have like actual sheet music.
It would not surprise me if that's some kind of late edition.
Yeah.
But maybe not. I mean, I think the interface they've got makes sense, but it is a lot more complicated than what you're getting with guitar or any of the other ones. And yeah, it's going to be challenging to kind of start from scratch and do that, but it's also going to be a lot of fun. It's really the same process that I went through the first time I tried drums, where it took me a few hours to like get used to, oh, this is, you know, I have to just match what my hands are doing with what my eyes see. And if I go back all the way to 2004 or 5, whenever it was I saw the first Guitar Hero, the same thing really, you know. You just have to learn to read that note highway and make your fingers do the walking. So the keyboard thing, though, definitely, if you put it in pro mode, it's very challenging. Very, very challenging. And very interesting. I can't wait to go back to it, even though I was completely humiliated on stage today.
I don't think you were humiliated.
On the keyboard? Yeah. It was bad. I hit, I'd say, less than 50% of the notes. It was ugly. And I was only on medium. So.
Well, I mean, another cool thing that I don't know if it had been revealed before E3 at all, but with the keyboard, you can also use it to play guitar parts or play guitar parts.
Mm-hmm.
Use a keyboard to play guitar parts and use a guitar to play keyboard parts.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty cool, just because, I mean, if you do get this keyboard with Rock Band 3, I don't think all the Rock Band 3 three songs support keyboard, and obviously, I don't know what they're going to do with all the previous songs that have keyboards in it or anything, but at least there's some alternative, and you can use the keyboard even if the keyboards aren't in the song.
Right.
Or any sort of MIDI device, even, that isn't a keyboard.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Rock Band 3, and now before we close, I'll go back around the other way, starting with Jared, and if any... You know, this would be optional, but if anybody has one other thing they want to talk about, some other third-party thing, or maybe a comment on a first-party game that you maybe didn't get to play until today.
I guess I'll quickly touch upon the 3DS, the demo. Basically, it was like a targeting game. It just showed, like, the question mark game. This is, everyone knows.
What, yeah, we yeah. talked about this.
Target. I think
you guys said
yesterday.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was amazing. Just the fact that it, basically, you know, you take the picture quickly of the basically it was, you know, just a question mark, a card with a question mark on it, and it was on a wooden table, and then basically that was in the game, and it would morph that, so, like, It like bent down like into the table. It rose out of the table. A monster. What was it, like a dragon? Like popped out of the table, coming at you,
it's
and you
surreal.
Had to shoot at it. It was really cool.
And you actually had to move physically around the dragon
to
shoot
really
it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm gonna talk about NHL Slapshot, which was at EA's booth, and that's the one for people who are unaware of. It comes with a little hockey stick peripheral.
Oh, Lord.
That you throw the Wii Remote in. You have the nunchuck in it as well, so the Wii Remote is kind of near the end of the stick, and the nunchuck is up near the top. And it's a pretty short stick. I guess I'm trying to think of like a size comparison. Like I guess around the size of like the Wii Zapper, as far as like lengthwise. And it's really easy to pick up and play because basically the only button controls are the analog stick to move around and the A button to pass. Other than that, everything else is controlled by, you know, moving the stick. You know, your rear back for a slap shot, and that it reads like how hard you're coming down, how high you raise it up. I feel like it could benefit from Motion Plus in that regard, because I feel like it's something that could be very easily, I guess, gamed. And like you could, like kind of back how Wii Sports first came out, and you could just like, you know, easily win in games by just making very simple motions that would be quick or something like that. But it was fun, and it's supposed to be a fully featured NHL game from EA Sports on Wii, so that's pretty cool.
Well, I'm torn between two games. I don't recall if we talked about Donkey Kong last night or not.
Not much.
We
did.
So I got a chance to play Donkey Kong Country Returns,
yeah,
finally.
Yeah, I played it with T.Y.
And it's a lot of fun, and the controls are a little strange, because the first time I played it, I didn't even think to try rolling, and I didn't think to shake to try rolling. One shake motion does the ground pound or peanut shooting if you're Diddy or whatever,
yeah.
But you can also, if you're running, I guess, I don't have the same motion.
It's like if you're running, it's just you shake.
Yeah, so it's the same motion, but when you're running, it does the roll, and you can do the roll jump and stuff, which is really cool, very old school. It feels good. It's a little, the controls are a little floaty.
Slippery is the word I would use.
Yeah.
Slippery, yeah, not floaty, right.
Slippery,
the jumps are fine.
Is
it's
the
watchword
with Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think even though they were like that, it was kind of like the original. I mean,
yeah.
The originals were
slippery.
Yeah.
Like,
Diddy Kong less slippery, though? Because in the original, Diddy Kong was much less slippery.
I
didn't try
know.
Did playing as Diddy Kong.
Yeah, I didn't play as
Diddy Kong. I played as Diddy. He's easier because he has that jetpack, which lets you float a
mm-hmm.
little bit, which definitely helps.
Yeah, it's kind of like Yoshi in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But wait, were you actually, like, when I played, like, you didn't play as Diddy separate, he just, like, jumped on Donkey Kong.
Oh, well, yeah, because you could do co-op, in which case
mm-hmm.
you both, you know,
one's Donkey, one's
yeah.
Diddy.
Right.
And,
at the same time.
And you can have Diddy jump on Donkey Kong's back and
right.
move around like that. But what happens in I played single player, and I think,
right.
I guess Jared, you did too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where if you find a barrel, like the DK barrel, and you break that open, then Diddy jumps on your back.
He's like a power up then.
Yeah.
And he gives you that.
And then it also gives you two extra hearts from Diddy
right.
Kong. So you have, you know.
But when you're doing co-op,
like
there's the risk reward is going on there, where if you team up, if you get hit, you both lose.
You could probably do like a Yoshi jump with Diddy Kong.
Sacrifice jump.
Yeah. Screw you,
Donkey Kong. I don't know. So that was a lot of fun. I played a little of the boss battle because I'd seen or played everything else. It was pretty hard. I couldn't beat him. I got close once, but it was a little cheap. It seemed like the spikes, the boss was such that like he had spikes on him that came in and out, and I couldn't really get the pattern down, or he was turning around, so it felt like sometimes I would jump and I didn't think I'd hit the spike, but the game claimed I hit the spike, so
yeah.
it was a little broken there. But I'm sure they'll work on that.
Yeah.
The other game I wanted to mention is Capcom Okami Den, which is of course a sequel to Okami for PS2 and then Wii.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much more of the same. I mean, it's very. Very
it's,
much
it's really
borrowing
nice
from
to,
Zelda.
It's really nice to draw stuff on the touchscreen. I feel like that's almost how what the series should have been made for.
Yeah, I mean, it works. That works very well. My problem with the Celestial Brush is that when you tap the shoulder button to go into brush mode, it takes
delay.
Like 2 or 3 seconds
yeah.
to go down. And then after you do the brush, it takes 2 or 3 seconds to go back up,
yeah.
which would be fine if it weren't so frequently used.
Yeah.
I mean, it's doing the Phantom Hourglass stuff with your partner, where your partner gets off of, I think it's Chibi, is that the wolf's name?
Chibiratsu.
Okay, so Chibi's back, and then you say, okay, go walk over here, hit that switch, or step on that block. And,
Because the guy riding your back is lighter than you.
Yeah, so you can The problem is just you're doing it too much. And so the game mechanic becomes kind of broken and gets tedious. Mm. I'm hoping that they'll downplay that after the initial introduction of that mechanic. But the boss battle was really tedious because you have to control both characters. So I'm a little aware of that. Otherwise, it's really good. I mean, it's a Zelda game, basically. The music's good. It sounds very much like the console game. And they're musical motifs that are I recognize from the first game, and it seems like it takes place maybe the one generation past or something, because the kid that was in the demo was Susanoo's son, the
swordsman
in the present era of the first game. So it sounds like there are a lot of ties to the original, and it's not going to be surprising. And one thing I wonder though is, one nice thing about Okami for the console game consoles was you didn't really know what to expect. You know, it wasn't formulaic like the Zelda games.
Yeah, it was almost Miyazaki style, and the structure of it was unpredictable, I felt like.
Yeah, but
it's not like, oh, we're going to have X number of dungeons and then some kind of story scene, and I'll have X more number of dungeons.
Yeah, but what worries me is that, like, the trial area is, like, in what feels very similar to, like, the first area with, like, the stars. I guess it's within a tree where you first learn about the Celestial Brush. And that felt very similar to the original console game. So I'm a little apprehensive that maybe they're going to fall into their own same patterns. And so this one won't feel as fresh, but it's pretty hard to tell that from the demo.
Right.
So we'll see.
Cool.
I wanted to bring up Bonk, Brink of Extinction. Unfortunately, they didn't actually have the WiiWare game version out there, but I spent a lot of time on the Xbox 360 version. And yeah, it was really nice to finally see a new Bonk platformer after so many, many years.
How long has it been, like 15 or something like that?
Let's see. Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there was...
Air Zonk?
No. Yeah, no, there was a Super Bonk on Super Nintendo, and then a second one, which was Japan only. But after that, yeah. Besides, there also was the sort of GameCube and PS2 remake.
Right.
So it's I guess it's sort of unfortunate that it's probably going to be coming out against like Donkey Kong and Kirby, which definitely are superior. But I mean, it's still a pretty fun game. It brings back some of the stuff even from the very first Bonk on TurboGrafx, where if after you kill an enemy, it'll fly up in the air and you can keep smacking it and you get more points the longer you can keep it sort of juggled in the air. Of course, it has like the meat power-up, but he also has a bunch of different like morph abilities now. So there's like a elemental stuff that you can be fire and ice or half of those powers. There's some really bizarre ones too. There's like a soap bubble where his head turns into like a bar of soap and like you bonk and like bubbles pop out and capture enemies and stuff. And then there's another one where he becomes like a rapper. And I'm not exactly sure how this fits into the game yet.
Boy.
But, like, he starts rapping. And I actually saw one of the enemies, like, doing something similar. So I'm assuming that there must be something there with that.
I'm scared.
Bonk rapping?
Was he talking? Like, did you hear him?
I mean, I think there was a little bit of something. It wasn't, like...
Was he laying down fat beats?
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, there's some sort of story.
Def Jam tie-in. Def Jam Repstar on your Bonk game.
Yeah, okay. Well,
no
passwords. On that terrifying note, Carly, is there anything else you want to mention?
I just wanted to mention Ghost Trick just for the fact that I haven't been able to finish either of the demo levels yet, even though I keep trying, because it takes quite a while to get through them.
Yes.
There's quite a bit of slow text, and the game takes the demo, because it's a demo tutorial, it takes you very slowly. And even when you get to the actual game part of the demo, to activate events, you have to wait on times, and then if you do it wrong, you have to restart the level completely because you've missed that opportunity. And there's a part where you have to time, like, think unfolding an umbrella to knock some headphones into a goldfish bowl so that the girl in the level will walk to the other side of the room instead of the side she was sitting. And if you miss that, you have to wait until she's over there at the headphones and reaching for them, which takes quite a while. You're waiting several seconds for that. And then if you don't knock them off at the right time, then that's it. You need to restart.
Do you think this sort of frustration that you're having, the trial and error part, do you think it's just an artifact of the demo?
I think a lot of it is in the demo, because you have to learn how to play the game and how it works. Some as well, though, those timing events that you have to wait for, you could easily miss them even in normal gameplay, I think. Mm-hmm. And one part, I had to speed up a fan so it would fly faster so I could get more distance on it. Then I had to stop it when it was over on the left-hand side of the screen to reach the other item. I was just surprised that it had such timing elements in it, because it didn't seem like that kind of game at all. And hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to finish part of the demo.
I only played the first one, which was really introductory.
It's worth trying the second one, because I said, those elements were quite surprising.
All right. James?
No, I'm good.
Okie dokie. James hated everything else. And I will finish with Kirby, because it was one of the games I didn't get to play yesterday. That's the first thing you have to say about Kirby, is that it looks absolutely amazing. And, it does look a bit like Little Big Planet, but I think it actually looks a lot better. I think the art style is a lot more cohesive than in Little Big Planet, because everything is made of fabric, not just some things. The animation is fantastic, and as I played it today, I got to look at it a lot more closely, and I realized the genius of using yarn as the material that all of your characters are made of, because yarn is fuzzy.
Yeah.
And it lets them get away with using lower res textures for all these fabrics, because they're supposed to look fuzzy and blurry. Like, they're not high definition, they're not high definition things. Even when you look at yarn in real life, it has that haze of fuzziness on it. So you put that up on the screen and it just looks right. And so, they get away with it not being super high res.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks like it should look. And the animation is incredibly fluid.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. It just flows. All the materials on there, just they flow like fluids, It's just it's really an amazing thing. Everything just morphs. Like, the ground, caves in under your feet, morphs under your feet as you walk on it. Everything's always moving as you interact with it. It's just beautiful, beautiful stuff. In terms of gameplay mechanics, I think the co-op stuff's really fun, actually. The person demoing it mentioned that it's meant to be a lot easier and less frustrating than New Super Mario Brothers, because you can't kill each other.
Right.
You can't even die at all. But there's not really anything you can do in the co-op to interfere with each other, to hamper each other. You can only sort of help each other.
You do pick each other up a lot when you're reaching for things, though.
But sometimes that helps, too. You can reach something by doing coordinating.
Yeah, that can happen. But
and you get in the way, though.
Right.
Yeah, you can hop on each other and scramble on each other.
Yeah, but as far as I could tell, you share points and jewels and things like that. So there's not really any reason to compete. You're not fighting over power-ups. There's no way to jump on the other guy and send him careening into a bottomless pit. There are no bottomless pits, basically. So it does seem like a game that is actually probably more family-friendly than Mario or any of the other co-op games, because you really can't hurt each other. But, in terms of the Kirby mechanics, there really are none. Yep. I think that's why I like it so much. It looks like Kirby, although obviously reimagined in a different art style. And, you know, I think the Kirby character is fine, but it really doesn't play like Kirby. The only way it feels like Kirby is in sort of the physics of jumping, you know, the weight of the character as he jumps and moves around, and the fact that he transforms. But he transforms by getting power-ups, not by eating enemies. And really everything else about Kirby that you'd think of in terms of flying, in terms of the level designs, the way blocks and switches fit together, the way you inhale enemies and spit them back out, all of that's been abandoned. I mean, yeah. It's just a complete relaunch of Kirby. And I think it's great because I've been complaining about the mechanics of Kirby games for basically since the first time I played Kirby. I thought, oh, you can fly infinitely? Well, this is kind of broken. And it was. And now, you know, you get to Kirby's epic yarn, you can't fly.
Well, it's kind of like the Kirby DS game, Canvas Curse, where that was also sort of a platformer, but you couldn't fly. It was mm-hmm. It was just, this is sort of the same idea, taken a different way.
And that's my favorite Kirby game before this. So, yeah, I just, what it comes down to is I like Kirby in theory, but in execution, I've never been that big of a fan of how the games actually play. And, you know, I think this new one from Goodfeel on Wii...
It's really a Wario game.
It addresses that. It actually plays more like a Wario Land game, but it's a lot cuter.
Yeah. Yes.
And it has this amazing, you know, fabric material art style. Yeah. So I'm very, very enamored by Kirby, and I'm surprised that it exists. And I think it's great. I think it's a really cool project. So... All right, that's going to end it. We are literally falling asleep around the microphone, so we're gonna call it to an end. And thanks for listening. I don't know if we're going to have another podcast. We'll have to see how the final day of the show goes and how much energy we've got left and if we have anything else to talk about. But thanks, everybody, for listening. And if you don't hear back from us, you will get... another regular episode of the show starting next week. All right, thanks very much. Talk to you later.